Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkwardly
social podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Happy whatever day you're listening to this. Recording out of the living room, sitting on the couch with a cat to either side of me. It's never my intention to have them be my silent guests, but they go where I go, and it's because they love me too much. I'm just too lovable, you guys. I am just surrounded by these cats. I know the joke you want to make, you inappropriate bastards. I'm not going to do it. I'm an adult, gosh darn it. Hi, how is life going? Good, good. Shout out to all those people that are listening to me now. When I get the notification saying that somebody started to follow me, I get a little bit like, oh man, they're going to hear me for the first time and they're going to like what they're listening to. I might be wrong. So if this is your last podcast, it was nice meeting you. But good luck to you. Best luck in life and enjoy. I did kind of creep on some of my followers just a little bit, just out of curiosity to see who's listening to what and for what reason. I did have a listener email me recommending me some guests of the adult variety after having on Sylvia Sage. It's definitely something that'll happen someday. It's just not something I'm going to aim to do specifically. I'm going to try to stick more with comedians for now. Plus, you guys may find this hard to believe. I'm not as connected with the adult entertainment industry as one might think. Sure, I live fairly close to Chatsworth, where they film pretty much everything. And maybe I do know some people that I... Actually, you know what? I take it back. I do know a few people. But nobody that I'm, like, buddies with by any means or anything. I don't even know if they still do that kind of stuff. But they did at some point. It's just kind of that world sort of surrounds us. I once did a show. It was at a bar, I want to say, in Burbank, where they would do this, like... I think it was called Porn Star Karaoke, where actors and actresses in the adult entertainment industry would come out for the night, have drinks, and do some karaoke. I don't know where that started. I'm sure that there's some history there, but I was on the show that would go on before that event. So there would be sitting in the audience, and I just look at these people, and I'm like, you guys are all very attractive, but at the same time, you know, like the deficit between me and them, just a bunch of really big buff dudes and a bunch of very attractive women. I was like, you guys, I'm like, I've never felt less attractive than when I was in a room full of adult actors. So that was interesting. That's when I knew I just can't get into porn. I don't have the look. I would be the guy who walks into a room and says, hey, why are you guys having sex on my couch? That's who I would be. That'd be kind of funny, though, if I was that guy. When I was a kid, I made one of those, what are they called, bucket lists or to-do lists, whatever, of things that I wanted to do. And one of the things on there was be in a porn, but not be at all part of the porn. Like, I didn't want to have sex or anything. I just wanted to walk by in the background just because I thought the concept of me being there, somebody watching at home, taking care of business, and then suddenly sees me walking by. Although, I think what would be funnier is me now, like, as a, you know, as an aspiring comedian, whatever, however you want to put it, as a comic. You know, if I were to gain a little more success, and then I just walk by in the background, and like, what the hell was that? I want to be able to interrupt that and that just a little bit, because I something about that just amuses me greatly. I don't know what it is. When I was a kid, it was very entertaining. Now, it's not really something that I aspire to, but a part of me would be amused if I unintentionally fulfilled that childhood dream of mine. Just a little something. That little sound you heard was my cat, my fat-ass cat, jumping on the couch because she's all fat and old. You know, like how old fat cats tend to do. She's aware of the fact that I'm talking about her now, so you might hear her in the background a little bit. And that's just what fucking happens. I wanted to put this episode out so soon after the last one. I try not to do two solo episodes in a row. I know I did a bunch of them a while back. I just wanted to kind of put something out there nearing 100 episodes. I figured why not have a little bit of fun with it. I was trying to think what I can talk about. A while back, I did an episode with Nick Guerra. It was cut a little short because we had a limited time. We're talking about doing another episode, but I wanted to take a moment to talk about something he had actually referred to me when we were talking about being guests on someone's podcast or having somebody be on our podcast. And he sent me this list of questions that he wanted me, not necessarily wanted me to answer, but that he's answered, and he thinks they're good questions to ask somebody who is a guest. So I'm going to ask these to myself for now, as he's asked, well, really, he asked me these with these questions, and I'll try to put it out there for some of the guests. I'll try to incorporate it. I can't promise because a lot of stuff will get sent to me, and then I say I'll put it on the podcast, and then I don't. So someday I'm going to put out all these dope-ass things with these awkward stories that were shared. I was just always trying to compile a list and try to categorize everything. There's a lot of things I'm trying to do with this podcast that some things are working out really well, then some things are working out better than others. I think I was trying to put too much production into it, and that was my mistake. Not because this is underproduced, but just because I thought, you know what people need? They need things to change up a little bit. I'm not a high energy guy. Maybe if I introduce a little bit of that. That's why every version of my podcast sort of has various changes here and there, things that could be good. I'm hoping that I get the formula down just right, or at the very least that if you started at the beginning with me, that you continue on this wave of comedy style modifications to the podcast. So enjoy that a little bit. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and read these questions to myself as if I'm interviewing myself. Let's take a look here. So, Jose, what is the piece of advice you pass off the most? I actually don't know that one because I give not a lot of advice. I give somewhat. This is where it gets a little complicated because it depends on who I'm talking to. If it's a comedian, somebody who is trying to get into comedy, or somebody who talks about wanting to do something, the only thing I really say is just do it, because you gain nothing from not trying. You know, I think the only what you gain more from trying than you do from not trying. I'm sure that's a totally incorrect quote that I'm pulling from somewhere, but it is something that I don't know. I don't like people being so still in their life when they don't move forward in any way. There's nothing wrong with not progressing per se, but at some point you kind of hit a little bit of a hiccup and you allow that to completely derail your development, whether it be in your career or your personal growth or whatever it is. At some point you're going to hit a hiccup. Take the break if you need to take the break, but you got to move on from there. Oh, I know what it is. I always say, feel the feelings until you don't feel them anymore. Not necessarily going numb, but one of the things we do is we try to fight the thing that we are feeling. We try to overcome it, overshadow it, ignore it, blow right past it. However you want to put it, you don't address the issue, or you don't give yourself the time to get through it. It's like a breakup. You're dating somebody who's terrible for you, or you're just dating somebody and now that relationship's over. Whatever the reason is, however good or bad they were for you, it takes time to get over something like that. To have somebody be a part of your life, to give somebody such responsibility over your emotions, and then for that person, for whatever reason, to no longer be that person. Now you are in charge of your own emotions again, your own free time, your own independence. You have to sever a connection from somebody. That takes time. Those things take a lot of time. And you can't just rush in and out of things. I've been there, and I've fucked up a lot by not just moving forward, by not processing things and giving myself the thing. So whether it be a relationship, an emotion from a personal experience that has nothing to do with that, just something that at that moment is so overwhelming for you, is so powerful for you, you find yourself just not dealing with it, and you try to move on, and then it backfires on you. Feel your feelings until you don't feel them anymore. So get over the thing that you need to get over, and not by forgetting about it, but by dealing with it, processing it, and then moving on to the next thing, because eventually you're just lingering. So give yourself ample time to process it. I mean, there were times where I would be having a conversation with a friend and we would be talking about something. Me and my buddy Scott, we talk comic books every time we get together. We still text each other. We haven't been coworkers in several years, but we still keep into contact, invite each other to nerd-related stuff. And that was our thing. When we first started talking and being buddies, we'd be talking around, I think it was one of our coworkers, or a couple of our coworkers, who were dealing with breakups with somebody who's like, oh, don't talk about comic books. That just reminds me of my ex-boyfriend, and he was really big on that. And then we couldn't talk about that kind of stuff. And she would kind of try to blow past that thing. And I won't make it too personal. I guess I already did. But because she wasn't dealing with whatever it was she was supposed to be dealing with, then we were impacted by it. And then, you know, that just kind of threw off that vibe there just a little bit. And it doesn't really matter. It's not really about us anyhow to begin with. But that was an unimportant conversation. Imagine if there's a bigger conversation going on and you are the person who's interrupting it because you can't properly deal with that situation. Then things just get weird. Or you make the wrong decision, or you end up with the wrong guy, or you end up making the wrong investment, or whatever. That's the thing. Feel your feelings until you don't feel them anymore. Once you get past that thing, once you're able to deal with whatever that specific situation is better, you'll find yourself less of a victim of your own emotions, of your own struggles or things that you're in denial of. So the things that you would do typically to fuck up your own progress would stop fucking you up because you've dealt with it. And anything you do wrong from then on is on you. You could tell yourself, well, you know what? I gave myself the time to move on from this. I did this, this, and that. This had nothing to do with that. At least now you won't be misplacing that frustration. You won't be moving it or putting the blame on the wrong thing because of that. That's one thing that happens in, I think I might even mention that, is when you get mad at somebody, your emotions are always a step behind or a day late or whatever. So you have an emotion today, you don't deal with it. Tomorrow something else happens, you take it out. You take yesterday's shit out on today's issue or non-issue or whatever. And then today you give it everything. All that shit you forgot to take care of previously. Then suddenly there's a fucking fire sale of emotions and you're taking it out on this one person that probably didn't do anything that bad. But you have all that aggression and you take it out on this one fucking moment. Feel your feelings until you don't feel that feeling anymore, motherfuckers. That's one of them. All right. What is the worst piece of advice you've ever been given? Oh, man, that one's rough. Because I've been given a lot of bad advice, especially in comedy. And it depends on who the person is, again. Because there are different kinds of bits of advice that I've gotten. One that I sort of had to tell myself, actively say to myself, no, that's fucking incorrect, is when somebody tried to tell me to go to the audience, come down to their level. This person pretty much said, dumb yourself down because that's how dumb your audience is. That was one of the worst pieces of advice I've ever gotten. And I'm not talking about that, what I was talking about in the previous episode with the whole hype man thing or whatever. I'm talking about specifically, let's remove the comedy equation. Let's remove the audience, comedian factor. Let's remove all of that from this. Come down to somebody else's level because they are not as intelligent as you are, or because they don't understand as much as you are. Dumb yourself down. Take away your own value. The thing that you feel that makes you valuable, remove it so that way you don't offend somebody else. I've been told that numerous times, specifically by certain types of comics. And that is something that I was just like, that's a ridiculous bit of advice to give somebody. That makes no fucking sense. It does if you want to have shortcuts in the responses or the associations, the reactions you want to get. If you're going for the very simple outcome from that, it in those instances, technically, it would be helpful, but you wouldn't grow as a person, as a comedian, as an artist, whatever you want to say. But sorry, I got like dry mouth. It just came out of nowhere. I'm not a big fan of the word artist. It's kind of along the lines of when somebody says something like, I'm a Pisces, so I have this emotion. That's not necessarily true. You're just a person. You're fucking you. You don't have to categorize yourself that way. That's what I'm trying to do here. But yeah, don't dumb yourself down. You don't have to do that. I know that you have to play the game or is a common thing, but truth be told, you don't have to. You could take a big chance with it. Maybe you won't have the success you wanted, but you know, I think you'd be happier with yourself if you just stayed a little more honest with yourself. That's where I can leave it. Just be honest with yourself in that process. I really don't have a whole lot of that. Do you have a moment where someone was an accidental mentor? Yeah, I suppose. Where somebody was a mentor towards me without really even noticing it. It happens all the time. Listen to a podcast, read a book. Somebody says something and then it'll stick with me. And then I'll remember it for maybe an hour, maybe a day. Maybe I'll spew it out on a podcast and then I'll move on from it. That lesson is still there so that when I need to go back to it. Yeah, if you don't have, you can have multiple mentors. I don't have one specific one. I suppose, Oh, you know what? This goes back to the previous one. This kind of harkens back to the previous one. This one actually kind of tie everything together. So I took an acting class with a coach who told me specifically to lose weight and cut my hair if I wanted to play the gangster. Cut my hair, let my hair grow a little bit longer if I wanted to play a cop. Or if I wanted to play certain stereotypes. He didn't want me, or he didn't believe that I would be able to do more. And he said to me, don't aim for the things that you can't really get. Just try to get the simple stuff. At least that way you'll have work and you can have a career. This was the advice that he gave me. He was supposed to be like a mentor and said he failed in being a mentor, but he accidentally taught me a lesson, which goes back to the previous thing that the other person said about dumbing yourself down. You don't have to dumb yourself down. You don't have to play that part. You don't have to be a part categorized in that thing that you were born into, that environment, that whatever. I want to put more thought into this because I'm not as intelligent as I would like to be, nor will I ever claim to be as intelligent as I so quote unquote sound, which is something that people tell me often. I'm not trying to sound smart. This is just the way that I speak. It's not intentional. It's just, you know, I thought I was going to be a writer growing up, so now I speak like this. I like that I immediately just made it to like, hold on, I got to correct myself. I don't want you guys to think that I'm smart by any means. Whatever you do, don't think I'm smart. Okay, I'm dumb. Ready? Cool. Go. It was stupid that I got that advice. It was ridiculous, and it taught me to be, to sort of say, okay, that's bullshit. So I'm going to not do that. Instead, I'm going to go do this other thing. Do the thing you got to do. Look, everybody's going to find their path. I can't really shit on somebody if that's the path that they did. But you really can't, you know, just pick a path just because it's easier. Some people play into the stereotypes or into this or that. And getting back to what I was talking about, where I don't want to sound like I'm pretend that I'm smart. But one thing that history has always taught us is that the thing that we think is our thing really isn't. You know, you look at at Nazi Germany or just Nazis in general, you know, the terms, the actions, the symbol didn't have to do with what it ended up being. You know, it was like a monk thing or something. Somebody correct me if you want to, but everything sort of originates from something else. Somebody just manipulates and repurposes it for their own title or agenda. And, everything becomes a different part. Suddenly it becomes history associated with that one thing. You don't have to be that person. You don't have to be the thing that history associates with. It's like tradition. It's like stereotypes, whatever. All those things, they are things you don't have to tie yourself to. Be proud of your heritage. Be proud of your past. I'm not saying don't be. In fact, I fucking encourage that. But don't allow yourself to be limited by those things because that is not what it's about. You grow up poor doesn't mean you're fucking destined to be poor. You know, you grow up uneducated doesn't mean you're not allowed to become smart. It's the same concept for everything. Let's see here. What's the biggest lesson you've learned from watching someone else fall on their face? I think I just covered that very unintentionally. I don't know. As a kid, I learned from other people's mistakes, specifically relationship stuff, because I used to watch just fights and yelling and crying. You grew up in a Hispanic family, there's going to be some fighting, some yelling. And I would watch my family, my sisters or my mom, just date just atrocious people. People that were just not good. And as a kid or just watching this, kind of telling myself, huh, now I know what kind of guy not to be. And I think I'm probably a nicer person because of it. But it was a lesson that I learned, and, you know, always learn from other people's mistakes as well as your own. And but don't be fucking snooty about it. Don't be like, I'm not going to do that in my life. No, motherfucker, you're going to do that at some point. What I'm saying is that at least tell yourself that, like, I fucking knew that this is what would happen if I went down this path because I've seen it happen. You know, be accepting of the education that you have that you didn't apply versus being cocky for learning that lesson. Like, thank the person who fucking taught you that. Don't be like, oh, what did you do wrong? Just tell them, hey, thank you for teaching me a lesson. That was a fucking teachable moment for the two of us. And hopefully, if I'm ever in that position, don't let me be that person. That's another thing, I guess. Let's see here. Build your own Frankenstein. The brains of, the heart of, the strength of, the attitude of. Huh, that's a fucking interesting one. I suppose, I don't know if it means that I Frankenstein myself, or if this is like a fucking person that you would want to be, or somebody that I would like to see exist in the world. Okay, let's go ahead and make it about me. If I wanted to build a Frankenstein, let's see here. This is interesting, because I think everybody has something. Okay, so, see, the brains of, I would want to go with Greg Giraldo. Greg Giraldo, funny fucking comedian that I wish I would have met and worked with. He was one of the people that taught me early on that it's like, your humor doesn't have to be limited to what your background is or whatever. Like, you don't have to do that. That's one guy who I looked up to, and I was like, I would like to meet that guy someday. I didn't get the chance to, but I feel like I would like to have his intelligence, how he processes things. The heart of probably Mr. Rogers. Or unless they mean like a physical strong heart, then I guess an athlete. But Mr. Rogers, I'd like to be able to say that I have, or at least want to have that kindness. I believe I'm capable of it. I've just been let down often enough to where that won't come as naturally as it once would have. I have a history of seeing people disappoint me or people betray or whatever the hell. Not really betray. Betray makes it sound like they turned me over to the cops or I gave them a huge thing that ended up fucking me over big time. And just some people just were fucking human, and I didn't consider the fact that people weren't always going to be on the same side. I could say that my cousin betrayed me just because I asked him not to do something. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a betrayal thing. Whatever. I'm pretty sure I lost a track. But anyhow, that kind of stuff makes me think that I could be Mr. Rogers-esque. But, you know, that's just like a fever dream. You know, I think that you have to, if you want to get to the Mr. Rogers level kind of kindness, you have to do that thing where you treat everybody like a human. Doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter the background, you treat everybody the same, and not with a little bit of cynicism, but just with a bit of like, you're not here to hurt me, you're simply here to exist. I'm here to exist, you're here to exist, we can exist together. At the end of the day, we won't be on the same page, but at least we'll be able to respect one another well enough. We're not taking from each other. If anything, we give to one another, and we gain when we give. That is what I would love to have, the heart of Mr. Rogers. Let's see here. The strength of, you know what? I'll go ahead and say it. I'll be that guy. The strength of my mom. Very emotional, right? Right? But look, I was watching this woman push a stroller with two kids. She had them, like, it wasn't her pushing, it was her husband. Two kids in a fucking stroller, one of those side-by-side strollers. She was carrying a kid on her around her arm, and her belly was fucking huge. And she was they were walking around like this, like a fucking family. I was like, Jesus, that looks not fucking manageable. And she had that man there to help her out. Now, imagine removing that dude, and my mom has to be the one pushing a stroller with two fucking kids, holding another, being pregnant. Because my mom had us a year apart. Those two like to party. My parents apparently just really, really compensated love with physical chemistry. Ugh. Moving on. Yeah, that's strength right there, because you're putting yourself aside. You're setting aside the person you could potentially become, the development of your individuality for the sake of taking care of a family. That is something I would fucking, that's a strength that I think everybody needs, where you have to figure out your life plan could get derailed. If you have no plan, you'll still feel your life is derailed, because you tell yourself, I have fucking 20 miles until I have to hit that exit over there, so I could do whatever the fuck I want. I could be in any lane I want over there. Then all of a sudden you have a flat tire, you have to pull over and give somebody a ride or whatever. Even if you had no plan to just, you just knew that at some point you were going to fucking hit that exit. And you had these interruptions, all of a sudden your car runs out of gas, so instead you got to fucking walk to that exit, the gas tank, an inconvenience there, here and there, whatever. You could have had a plan, you could have had no plan, you could have been zoned out, you could have done a thing where you don't realize that you've been driving for 20 minutes and you're like, oh shit, I'm already in fucking Bakersfield or wherever. That kind of thing. But you interrupt yourself, or you find a hiccup in the road, something that prevents you. And that is a strength, because you have to be suddenly find yourself doing this thing and adapting to the environment or the situation or the fucking existence of four tiny little fucking things. They cannot quite take care of themselves, even as adults. Just saying. We grew up, but we're still... I mean, I still wear these t-shirts with these different characters on them. Yeah, we grew up mostly. We're grown-ish. Grown-ish. All right, so the attitude of... Oh, man, that is a... I'm going to say, if I'm going to go back to comedians, Mitch Hedberg. I already sort of feel that way a little bit, because I didn't know the guy, and I'm sure he had his fucking flaws, because obviously he had a fucking history with drugs, and there's a whole lot of stuff here that I'm sure will come out someday that'll just be like, nothing shitty, by the way. This isn't like an insider scoop of like, oh, Mitch Hedberg was a terrible person. Nah, just you witness somebody who is fucking hilarious, who learns how to really be on his own in a weird way, very eccentric. Gets to a certain point of speaking and thinking in a very different way that most people don't. You don't become that way without having your own hardships, without having the own things you have to cope or process or work around emotionally, psychologically, whatever. I would like to have that. I think it's not really my goal to be like that. It's not. I'm sure I have long hair and I'm like wearing my sunglasses and I'm kind of, for the most part, a very calm person. I'm never going to be like each of these people combined. That would be fucking amazing. I think if I could have heart and confidence without ego, that would be beautiful. But you can't have one without the other. You're going to notice that. There's growing pains. There's growing pains from maturing or really devolving, which is also a thing. You know, you're growing as a person, or you're doing the exact opposite, but you never know which direction you're headed in. Anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. This was a fun one. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Follow me on the social medias at I Am Jose Chavez. Email me if you have any subjects you have in mind, want to recommend a topic, a guest, just want to shoot the shit, say hi, whatever the hell. JoseChavezComedian@gmail.com. And awkwardlysocialcomedy.com to find the old episodes of stuff, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. Go out and have a good day, and don't be an asshole. Be kind to somebody else. If you're having a shitty day, be kind to someone, and maybe it'll justify, like, well, he's had a shitty day, but at least this other person's feeling a little better. I figured it out. All right, go. Be not an asshole. Take care.